In the studio this morning, I have Yvonne Duncan, who originally brought peace education to New Zealand children starting in the mid-1980s, then conflict resolution, working with the Peace Foundation, and now she is the president of the Peace Foundation here in Auckland, as well as Christina Baruel, a primary-trained teacher who ran this program effectively for 8 years, who has now taken over as the national trainer. And finally, I also have in the studio Janine Edge from the UK, who is a mediator and trainer in conflict resolution. After seeing the work of the Peace Foundation here in New Zealand, she was inspired to launch a new project for teaching school children in the UK. Her project is unusual in that she is using lawyers to train the school students in peaceful conflict resolution, which she says is as much to educate the lawyers as it is the students. So, kia ora, ladies.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora.
Thank you so much for coming in and sharing this morning. And I'd like to start with you, Yvonne, because you originated so much of this. What took you into working with children and peace issues, and especially conflict resolution?
Okay. Well, as a teacher, of course, teachers are faced with conflict every day, and I was no different. So, of course, dealing with conflict was an interest of mine. But this program, Cool Schools, which I'm mainly going to talk about, really started at the chalk face. Here I was, a teacher who had an army officer as a husband, never thought much about peace issues, but suddenly I got the greatest opportunity of my life. I was an experienced teacher, and I was faced with a class of 36 students specially selected who had all sorts of difficulties. The deputy principal had sorted them because he didn't want them in the open plan, and he thought they'd be better with me in a prefab. I don't know what I'd done to deserve this honour, but there I was, faced with my biggest challenge. And I was keen to teach, but things were not working out too well. And I had to stand back and think about what was happening. And I decided that these children needed to learn to get on better together before they were going to learn anything else this year. Luckily for me, somebody who saw I was in trouble, and I was, gave me a little book called Learning Peaceful Relationships, published by the Peace Foundation. So that was my very first contact with them. Because I could easily have gone down the road of getting into more and more authoritarian control in the classroom if I hadn't got this little book which changed my life. Because in this book it had ideas for giving the children skills, and it had a simple idea on mediation. That is, the children being trained to be mediators to work with their peers in problem solving. So basically I was willing to try anything. And so I set off teaching in this way in my classroom. Now, to my surprise, by the end of the year, the principal came in to tell the children how well they'd achieved. They actually achieved better academic results than the children in the other classes. However, they had learned what today we would call social-emotional intelligence skills, but in those days I called it survival. But many teachers have good ideas in their classroom, and there they stay. But it was the children themselves who saw the wider vision. And what happened was this. Suddenly, a wave of marbles the next year spread over the school, and there was lots of conflict in the playground and fights and arguments with people losing their marbles in more ways than one. And the teachers were getting pretty fed up with all this conflict. And one of them got up at an assembly, you know the drill, and said, if this disgraceful behaviour about marbles continues, marbles are going to be banned. The quick fix. Well, the children weren't happy, and three of them came up after assembly, and they said to me, why can't we do marble mediators? And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, what we do to solve problems in the classroom, we could do it in the playground. Well, I hadn't made the leap to the playground, so I said, great, you figure out what you're going to do, and you can stand up in assembly and offer your services. So they took me at my word. They were used to doing things in my class. So they stood up in assembly with their banner, which said marble mediators, and they said, we will be available to sort out problems with marbles in the playground. So they set up with table and chairs and their banner, and they sat there waiting for customers. And to our surprise, the customers arrived. The children queued up with their marbles and waited till they went through this wonderful process, And their problems got solved. It was a win-win. Marbles didn't get banned, and the teachers got relieved from marble stress. So that was the seed, the germ of the idea. But nothing happened because I'm a slow learner. And I was involved in things like peace education, everything from personal to global. So it wasn't until I went to a conference run by the foundation some years later, and I went to a workshop on international mediation. That was when I thought back to what the children had done. And I thought we could be doing this in schools. So I got together with the Peace Foundation and Alan Weir, who just come back with some material from America, and the program was born. And I had no idea when I started that this program, we were going to do workshops in America, the UK, Australia, Hong Kong, and a trial two-year project in Fiji. Absolutely amazing.
And you've never looked back since?
Well, no. In New Zealand, the program has gone right throughout the country in primary and secondary schools. There's also a parents program because you have to deal with the whole school community. And we have had support from the Ministry of Education when they saw how successful the program was, and also the Ministry of Health. So we are very encouraged with the way in which the students have developed, because, of course, the idea really is to change the way society handles conflict. Because in conflict, people behave unconsciously. They go back to the old brain survival, and they fight, defend, attack, escalate. All of this takes place. So in order to change as human beings, we have to raise consciousness of what happens in conflict and how to understand conflict. So with the children or the students, we actually say to them, now, once you have seen this material, you are going to be different. You are not going to be the same. You will change. So we show them the way in which people act in conflict, such as we use little animals to just fix their attention on the different ways people can react in conflict, like the turtle. The turtle goes into his shell and denies, and they have to think about which animal they are like. And this really raises, from then on, they can think about how they act and how other people act, and they can make a positive choice and change their behaviour because they have this knowledge and this consciousness. However, there's a lot more to the programme than that, of course, in primary and secondary schools. And I thought perhaps our latest national coordinator, Christina, might like to talk about how the programme works in schools.
Certainly, Christina. Please.
Thank you, Tim. First of all, I would like to add my little story. I was sent along in the mid-90s by a school that felt they needed a teacher to go along to a course where we may be able to get some help for some very stroppy Year 8 students. I was sent along as a young teacher to look at the Cool Schools Peer Mediation Program as a way of really helping out in our school with peaceful conflict resolution. Now, I'm here to tell you that I was halfway through this particular full-day course, and I was sitting there going, this is not just about teaching kids skills to effectively manage their conflict. This is about me, first and foremost, actually looking at this and going, hey, I'm a teacher here, and it's really important for me to walk the talk. If I'm actually going to be teaching students peaceful conflict resolution skills, then I should be actually taking on board these particular skills myself. So I just want to say, for my own personal relationships that I've had in my life, the Cool Schools skills that I have learnt myself have been wonderful and really helping develop the relationships with the people I have in my life. Anyway, that's just a little by and by. I always start by telling fellow colleagues when I'm going into primary schools and doing the training with teachers, because at primary level I do train teachers, I always start by telling them that story, that it's actually really important for us to look at the skills ourselves and to walk the talk. And it's so much more meaningful for students when they see us modelling those skills in the classroom. And often that is a really big hook-in for teachers because they realise they need to do that. A little bit about the program itself. What I tend to do is, at primary level, I go in and I do a full training, and that brings all teachers on board with six major skills. Now, what those skills are, we teach active listening, active listening is teaching students how to listen really effectively when they're in conflict. And it's got a component where they are not only listening to what's being said, but they're reflecting back the information to the person that has done the storytelling. And that's, we've discovered, is a really quite a difficult skill that students need to practice, but that reflecting back information is part of what active listening is all about, and part of is a key skill in this program and a key skill to being an effective peer mediator. So that's number one. Number two is teaching I statements and affirmations. And when people are in conflict, and I know myself, that when I'm upset and a little bit angry, then I will tend to use a you statement. And what happens is that when you start using you statements, of course the other person becomes quite defensive. It polarises people. They tend to back into a corner, you know, and nothing gets effectively resolved. But I've found myself, if I use an I statement, especially, you know, if I've got a bit of a problem with my partner, for example, it has huge positive results. For example, you know, look, darling, I feel really frustrated when you take my hat without asking, because now I haven't got a hat to wear. You know, that's an I statement, rather than saying, well, look, here you are, you've taken it again, or you thief, or whatever it is that you tend to sort of react with initially. Using an I statement first and foremost really works in a way that it keeps it non-threatening when you're communicating a problem together. So I statements and affirmations is the second skill. The third skill, as Yvonne mentioned, is learning to recognise different responses to conflict. Yvonne mentioned the turtle. We also have the teddy bear response. We have the shark response. We have the fox. And we also have the wise old owl, who is into cooperative problem solving, which is the ideal, and it is what we are teaching in this program, teaching students how to communicate like owl. That is our third skill. Our fourth skill is teaching about effective questioning, students learning the difference between open and closed questions. And when you are working a mediation, there is a time that you ask closed questions very effectively, often at the beginning of a mediation, and a time when you ask open questions. And it is important that they understand if you ask the wrong type of question at the wrong time, that it can create more conflict. For example, did you steal my stickers? No. He did. She did. So that is an inappropriate question, a closed question asked at the wrong time, whereas if it had been, well, tell me about the problem. What happened? And how you feel about this? Those are open questions that we teach students to ask at an appropriate time. So that is our fourth skill. Our fifth skill is teaching all about the role of the mediator. And our sixth skill is teaching about the mediation process itself. So teachers and students learn about what a mediation is, how it is a safe way to express and work through problems where everyone's opinions are heard, feelings are heard, and solutions are worked through together with the people who have the problem. And the mediator, of course, is impartial and is certainly going to guide the process without actually offering solutions themselves. That is not their role. So essentially, in a nutshell, Tim, that is the skills that we teach in primary, intermediate and secondary schools throughout the country that are part of what this program is all about.
And you always have a mediator in most cases?
A student. Just tell me what you mean just regarding that.
If two people have differences, it's best to have a mediator to help support the whole process of resolving that conflict.
Yes, that's what we promote, that in schools, if students have a little problem together, they can choose, it's a choice, they can choose a mediator who may be on duty. In the primary school, they are on duty at interval and lunch times, and they can choose to have their problems work through with the help of a mediator. Okay, at secondary level, students are out there. They're not necessarily on duty, but they are recognised by other students as being skilled and trained as mediators, and students can go up to them and they can talk through problems with the students that are trained in this work.
Mm. I might just mention here that the ultimate aim of the program is to have all students, not just the mediators, the specially trained school mediators, but all students actually using the skills. And that is why it's a whole school program in the primary area. So once the teachers have learnt, and if you want to change a school, you start with the teachers. And I'll just give you an example of how a teacher has actually changed and become more conscious of their own teaching by doing the program. This was taken from some research that the Ministry of Education did in 2004. This teacher said, when interviewed, "I find myself monitoring my own behaviour. I don't growl as much as I used to. I used to love the authoritarian approach where I am the boss. Do as you're told. But now I realise I can also use I statements myself. You know, I feel proud of you when you all settle down and work to the best of your ability. I'd like you to keep it up. And it's much better than going, 'What are you doing? Why aren't you doing your work?' This has been one of the consequences, very positive one for me." So the teachers actually changing and being role models, as Christina was saying, are very, very important. But it's also the fact that the children themselves change. Here's one person who, when interviewed, said, "When I was in year six, I used to bully little kids. So I became a mediator. I looked at myself, how I was a bully, and I stopped." And this was a year six student. So it does have a powerful, the training has a powerful effect on both teachers and students.
Particularly when the teacher's in the staff room, they must find ways now to resolve a lot of conflict or different points of view more easily.
Yes. Yeah. I will say that one of the things I do promote in the program is that mediators are there, Tim, to actually resolve small stuff conflict. The reason being is that there is some fairly major conflict that can happen in the playground, and one of our key things is that mediators stay safe. So we always promote that mediators deal with all the small stuff conflict. And the good news is if the small stuff conflict's dealt with, it doesn't escalate into the big stuff conflict. So it's very effective from that point of view.
Mm-hmm. The bar goes up when it's secondary. They deal with more serious issues, but there's still a boundary about what they deal with and what they don't, and this needs to be made clear. Also, mediation is confidential, and this becomes even more important in secondary school because the students need to know that what they confide in the mediators will be held confidentially. So this gives them confidence in the process.
Mm. And do they get a certificate or a diploma at the end to show that they've got these skills? I think it's a fantastic idea.
In primary level, Tim, they do get a trained mediator certificate, so at the end of their training, which is normally about 2 days, it can work 2 days with a coordinator going through all the skills that I mentioned earlier, they get a trained mediator certificate. But when they've actually shown service, reliable, responsible, respectful service in the playground, they get their graduation certificate. So they graduate over a period of time into being mediators who have obviously shown that they are ambassadors of social justice in their school, and they graduate into that certificate. And that certificate often comes, not always in all schools, but it does come with a badge, a graduation badge, which they can wear very proudly onto the primary school. They can wear it onto the intermediate school, and if they are also working the program, of course, they are automatically in the team as graduated mediators. And then, of course, at intermediate level, they go on to secondary, and if they are graduated at intermediate, they automatically work as mediators at secondary level. So this is very effective.
So how widespread is it? Because I'd like to think that there's going to be a great decline in divorces across the country in the future. Can you tell us this, how widespread, how many schools?
Well, I could just start by saying that in 1991, I trialled it in 12 schools. Now, of course, in the time I was working in the job at the Peace Foundation, once I went to work for them full-time, because the program demanded that, the number of schools that wanted to do it, I went to 2,000 schools, and we only have around about 2,650 schools. Christina might be able to give us just a little more information on where it's at the moment.
What generally tends to happen is schools do the training with the program, and then we really encourage schools to take it, to embrace it, and to work it and make it their own so it fits into the school climate and culture effectively. And this, what can often happen is that schools will work a component that works really well, and then perhaps they might add their flavour into the program. To this, recently we did a survey which showed that we have about 400 schools that are actually implementing the Cool Schools program as we deliver it to schools. But there are a lot of schools out there, Tim, that are doing their own thing, but they're using a component of the peer mediation program.
Yes, I'd just like to mention Mount Roskill Grammar, which is a flagship school for secondary, and this year 200 students applied to be mediators. There are 75 different cultures in that school, and the Cool Schools program, according to the Metro magazine, actually looked at schools in Auckland and selected schools that were doing particularly well. Now, Mount Roskill Grammar is only a decile 4, and it was rated as top school. If you take into account the fact that it's a decile 4, that means the economic background of the parents, that's quite a low decile. The highest, most affluent is decile 10, so you can see the difference. This school has actually outperformed academically some of the higher decile schools because it educates the whole person and it does programs like Cool Schools Mediation and other programs that build the whole person. For example, here's something one of the mediators said: I've grown into a much more thoughtful person and can now relate and cope with everyday situations better. I believe now I look out for other students more and I can use my skills to help others. I can resolve my conflicts in much more mature ways. This process has helped me gain skills I can use in the future and has given me skills to create better relationships with new bosses and teachers. And another one talks about how committed they are to the school and to excellence in everything they do. So it actually changes the whole attitude of the students to give service, and it's a great thing for leadership in the school.
The other thing, if I can mention too, Tim, is that one of the big issues that we're facing these days, that schools are safe places for students. And there was a survey done by Youth 2000 in 2007. They have recently updated the stats, but what came through that survey when they interviewed 9,699 students from years 9 to 13 from 114 randomly selected schools throughout New Zealand. Just a couple of stats from that that I find really alarming, not only as a teacher but as a parent, is that from that 9,699 students, 30% of them said that they had been bullied at school in that last year. 30 in every 100 students. Also, safety at school, 20% of the students reported feeling safe at school sometimes or not at all. So those are fairly high stats. So what it tells me, you know, as a teacher and as a parent, is that your schools are not necessarily safe places. Now, the beauty of the Cool Schools program is that we're empowering students to work with other students. And often a student who has a real need or has a problem or something's going on for them will talk to another student that they trust before they actually will approach an adult. And that's what we're finding, especially at secondary level, that the mediators in schools are being approached by students around problem areas, especially to do with bullying, because it is a big issue that we have out there at the moment. And so as a result, you know, we're finding that it's really helping, the Cool Schools Peer Mediation Program is really helping with keeping schools safe.
And here's just an example. Now, one of the schools in Auckland was doing the Cool Schools program, but they only had one teacher trained who'd trained at a teacher centre, and when she left, the program fell through. Now, this is the first time this has ever happened. A group of primary students who'd been involved in the program went in a deputation to see the principal and asked for the program back. Now, because they did this, there was tremendous change took place in that school. The principal was so impressed that they had actually asked for the program back that not only did she make sure that the whole staff was trained, but they put in place a non-violence policy for bullying. They involved the children, the parents, and the teachers, all the stakeholders, in building this whole school program to deal with bullying and non-violence, which we now give out to other schools because it's such a good model of empowerment and how a school changed things.
And the Minister of Education, is the ministry championing this initiative? Do they go out and say, yes, this is what we want because we're not going to have delinquent kids running around because we have found a way and to resolve all the conflict within and without?
Well, this is a very interesting point because for years the Ministry of Education has supported the program. because they've got all this wonderful feedback from the schools and all the reports and the research, and their own research shows how successful it was in low decile schools. But last year, the government told the Ministry of Education to slash their budget, and so the innovation pool was cut. And three programs were in the innovation pool: Tūtangata, a Māori program, KiwiCan, and the Cool Schools program for low decile schools, the ones that need it most. And all of those programs were cut. So at the end of the year, the money for that program ran out. And now we are desperately seeking more money to do more programs in the low decile schools. We do still have some one contract left, but we are seriously hampered by lack of funds at the moment. In fact, we've got a members' appeal out at the moment to try to make up this deficit for the low decile schools.
It's urgent need for us to continue this and expand it. It's profound, really, isn't it? And Janine, coming in from the UK and seeing what's happening in New Zealand, and of course you've seen so many fantastic things, can you explain to the listeners how you see this whole program?
Well, I came across the Cool Schools program by a lovely synchronistic event. I was out here on holiday and I'd arranged to meet somebody in the next door room to the Peace Foundation offices. But they were late, so I wandered into the Peace Foundation office and I said, well, what do you do? And they told me all about their Cool Schools program. And there was a woman there who told me this story. She said that recently there'd been a school where there'd been an awful lot of bullying. And the mediators, the students that had been trained as mediators, went to the head and said, can you close the school for a whole day so that we can do all the mediations that are necessary to solve this bullying problem? And the head agreed, and the school was closed for a day, and the students ran all the mediations, and as a result of that, the bullying ceased in that particular school. And I was so impressed with this story, I thought, my goodness, I wonder what's happening in England about this. Are we doing this? And very kindly, Christina Barrowell took me training with her in the school so I could really see what the program consisted of. And I'd like to add three aspects to the program from what's been said so far. One is they have a wonderful DVD showing students mediating their disputes. And I have indeed shown this in the UK to many people, and they think it's a wonderful teaching tool. Secondly, I was also very impressed by the fact that they're not only teaching the students how to be mediators here, but they're also teaching the students how to teach other students conflict resolution. And 2 weeks ago, I went to a 3-hour session, at the end of which the student mediators were standing up and giving lessons to their fellow students. So this is empowering on another level, where the students become the teachers of conflict resolution. And we all know that teaching is the best way to learn things. Anyway, I was so impressed with this, and I was also very impressed with the fact that the students pick up subtle issues so quickly. The process of being a mediator is quite a tricky one, because you're there not to resolve the dispute or problem solve. You're there to help the other parties who are fighting to come to a resolution. And it was interesting to see how quickly the students picked up that subtle difference and were able not to interfere with the problem-solving phase. Anyway, I went back to England and found that there were indeed some charities doing this work in England, but reaching a very small proportion of schools in the UK. And I wondered how we could do this on a larger scale. And in the UK, we have problems, as we do everywhere, but particularly in the UK, which is shortage of teacher time and shortage of funding. There is no equivalent to the Peace Foundation in the UK operating on a national scale. And then I thought, well, here I am, I'm a lawyer and I'm a mediator, trained as a mediator, and there are thousands of lawyers trained as mediators in the UK. And I thought, why don't we ourselves go into schools and teach the children, and we'll do it for free. So a project was launched last year, and it's being run as an extended pilot this year, whereby lawyers, as mediators, are going into the schools, they train the children up on how to be a mediator, and they put them through little case studies, and the project has been approved by University of Canterbury in the UK as teaching mediation in accordance with professional mediation standards. So that's the project in the UK, and the children, I think, the students really love it because they're not being taught by teachers, they're being taught by people who are at the coalface, being professional mediators and solving problems, and we mediators can tell the children all the little stories that we have of solving problems in the professional world. And the lawyers really love it because lawyers who are trained as mediators are a bit like born-again Christians. They realise that this is the real way to resolve disputes, and they have a platform through which to teach it to a whole generation of children who will be growing up and either using the mediation service or indeed becoming mediators themselves. And more than anything else, I think the lawyers learn a lot from the students, because as a result of teaching more soft skills to the students and seeing how they operate, we as lawyer mediators learn more about how to resolve conflicts from the students themselves. So that's how the project is working in the UK.
Fantastic. I am talking with Yvonne Duncan, Christina Baruel and Janine Edge, who are involved in the very innovative New Zealand program Cool Schools, based on conflict resolution, working with children so that we can resolve all areas of conflict in our daily life. Because it's so inspirational, really. I mean, I'd like to see Parliament
exactly
get an understanding of this and say, right, we've got to work for this for the benefit of our future, for the benefit of now. Let's get everybody on board to learn the skills. So that
that's right. And we've got a youth wing now at tertiary level, because all these students were being trained in the schools, and so now we have a youth wing, and we've got them, of course, some of them are working in the nuclear aspect, actually, and there may be a debate in Parliament coming up soon for BANG, which is Ban All Nuclear Weapons. And we've got other students actually helping Christina, so she might like to just mention Johnny Black in particular.
Yes, Johnny Black was an advanced mediator at Mount Roskill Grammar, and he's so passionate about this work. He's so passionate about this work that he's got some very big goals. One goal, and he's certainly on track for this, is that he would like to really work at bringing the local intermediate school on board with the program, and he has offered his service as a coordinator. And what has transpired, in fact, is that the school's actually doing their training in July this year, and Johnny has been taken on board as the coordinator, so he will be working with the students, training up the students. What he would also like to do with that school is he would like to use the intermediate students to come into the primary school, which is on at the same campus. It's fortunate that all three, the primary, intermediate and the secondary school, are on the same campus, so he sees this as a perfect opportunity to have a Cool Schools community, and Johnny would like to initiate that as an ex-Mount Roskill Grammar advanced mediator, and I just think that's fantastic. And of course his long-term goal is that he would like to become an international mediator, and he is a Māori student, and he sees this as a fantastic way of really working with the Māori people and to really promote peaceful conflict resolution in the Māori communities around New Zealand.
I'd just like to come in here and follow that up with, people can change, because often people think, I know this psychologist put out that human beings are basically aggressive. Well, you see, I don't believe that. And my experience with youth has been that actually youth are really altruistic. And I'll give you an example. When Christina came up north with me when we were doing the handover for her to take over the national coordinator's role, I went to a small college in the far north, and I took revisit with the teachers, and suddenly, instead of taking the advanced mediators as I'd expected the next day when I was doing a demonstration to Christina and another trainer, the guidance counsellor said to me, oh, I'd really like you, instead of taking the advanced mediators, could you take a fourth form? And I said, well, why? Why are you changing the program? She said, well, they're 4R and they're already calling themselves 4 Rebel. And they're going to be big trouble this year. So we thought if you did something right now, things might change. So I kind of reflected on this and agreed and changed my program. And the next day, faced with 4R, who soon made their presence felt. But after I'd talked to them about the fact that they could actually become valuable people in the skills of mediation and offer service to their school, and it would actually change their own lives, and we got into some of the exercises, they bought into it. And at the end of the day, when someone asked how it had gone, the guidance counselor said, fantastic. They're absolutely sold on the program, and they're just changed. And this is what happens when you trust students. You give them the opportunity and the skills, they can do far more than we as adults realise. So the big picture is that people can change, they can make a difference in the world, and that's what this program is about. And I could just see it happening right through not just New Zealand, but in many other countries could take on these sorts of programs. In fact, Christina, there was something about awards to do with the program, I believe, and Hong Kong you might like to talk about.
Okay, Christina, what's happening in Hong Kong? Because I want you to tell how many schools in Australia. I want to see it sort of radiating out from New Zealand and where it's going. So,
Well, we had an opportunity in 2008 to take the program to Hong Kong, to Discovery Bay International School in Lantau Island, which is the island that the airport's on.
Ponan Temple.
It's the one, yeah. It was interesting because I asked the principal, who was a New Zealander, and he, of course, he'd been exposed to cool schools earlier on in his career as a primary school teacher. But he did say to two of his staff, do look into it and find a mediation program, a peer mediation program that is the best. Because we know there are programs out there. There's, in America, there's peer mediation programs. In the UK, as Janine said, there are peer mediation programs. We want the best program here, and we're prepared to pay for it. And, of course, this is what he told me. And I said to him, well, why did you choose cool schools? Well, he said there were two reasons. One is that it's a whole school program, and as Yvonne mentioned earlier, we do promote a whole school program so that everybody's on board, parents included. So it's parents, teachers, pupils, everyone comes on board with this program when they choose to be part of the cool schools. The other reason was essentially the program's about empowering students to work with their peers to help resolve conflict peacefully. And he said there's no other real program quite like that. It's not delivered quite the same way as your program. And we had a look into it and we just found that we could implement your program a lot more effectively. So that's why we want you here. And we're prepared to pay what it takes to have you here, Christina. So that's what happened. I was over there and I introduced it to the school for a whole week, trained teachers right throughout the school and parents as well. And I'm pleased to say it's successfully running. Still to this, what are we, 2010, we have telephone conferences with the coordinators regularly just to make sure that they are supported in the best way possible. And yes, they've come up already with lots of innovative ideas that are really helping New Zealand schools implementing the program successfully. So it's been a real win-win situation in Hong Kong. The other interesting thing is other schools in Hong Kong are hearing about what's going on at Discovery Bay, and we're starting to get inquiries about whether or not there's possibilities for training in the future in other schools in the Hong Kong area. So this is all very exciting for the Peace Foundation.
And Australia?
Yes, Australia, there were lots of schools involved in Queensland and also in Victoria. But we've found one thing, that it's been really hard to keep it going because there's no organisation like the Peace Foundation there supporting it. So that has made it a bit of a struggle over the years in Australia, which is a shame. And I think if they could only align with an organisation like we have here, that would make a difference. And I'd just like to talk about the big picture for a moment. If you look at what's happening in the world, we do extremely well with technology, but not so well. Look at the amount of conflict and wars in the world. Human potential is far more we can do on this level. We really need to teach these social, emotional, intelligent skills to, and this is the sort of thing that's behind this program, actually changing the world. I mean, human beings can do so much more if we just train them and give a value to this training and put some resources behind it. That's what I'm urging. So this week, just on a microcosm, we have free parent programs offering from the Peace Foundation. So if there are any parents out there in the Auckland area who are interested in improving their skills and finding out more about this program, ring the Peace Foundation, 3732 379, and you can join in and find out more about these skills for your children and your grandchildren.
And coming from UK?
Well, I was going to, in fact, talk about an initiative in Australia, which is called SCRAM, and is also run by lawyers, where they're putting in place mediation competitions. And this enables schools to interact with each other and see how their mediation skills are developing across different schools in different areas. And so that's another development that may in fact happen in the UK as well, which is a way of refining skills, not just within the school, but on a national level. Mm. One other thought I have on what Yvonne has to say, and that has struck me from seeing what's happening in the UK, is that it is all very well for initiatives to be taken by charities and organisations such as the Peace Foundation, but this is really something that should be part, integral part of the curriculum, like reading and writing and like maths. And the thing is that it doesn't need very much. As part of the course that is delivered in the UK, we have a 1.5-hour seminar where I take the children through the theories of non-violent communication, some of the exercises that Christina has been talking about. And often the teachers come up to me afterwards and say, in 1.5 hours, you have changed our life. So it doesn't need very much. And unless it gets into the curriculum, it's never going to be widespread enough.
To the degree that basically it's a building block in human relationships. Mm, and yes. Really, it should have been here 2,000, 5,000 years ago.
Can I just say, I totally agree, Tim. If somebody asked me to sum up what this program is all about in a couple of words, that's what I would say. It's all about relationship building. And like I say, I work the skills myself in my own life, and it's all about building relationships. And it doesn't matter who it's with, whether it's your partner, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your colleague, pupil. It's all about building relationships with people. And hey, if we're building positive relationships, especially when we have differences, and we all have differences, because we're all different human beings, but if we know or have tools to be able to work with each other and we have differences, hey, isn't it going to be a much more peaceful world out there? And that's why I think, you know, we really have to promote cool schools. I am pleased to say that it is part of the curriculum. We have, it slots in beautifully with health and physical education, relationships with others. The Ministry of Education put out a new document, and they're really promoting what they call 5 key competencies. It fits in there beautifully with all 5 of those key competencies, especially with managing self. So when I'm going into schools and I'm saying, this is not over and above what you're already doing in your curriculum, this is part of, it's already there. You're doing this as part of your health curriculum. You know, and teachers' eyes light up because they are already very busy people. So to be doing something extra is not favourable with them. But if it's part of, it's easy. They just embrace it, take it on board, slip it in there, it becomes part of the health curriculum. Relationship building, fantastic.
I know. If I'd had it when I was a kid, I would have had more boyfriends and more girlfriends.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
And there would be less need for lawyers.
I thought of that one too, yes. Yes.
Yes.
So how would you like to see it flow?
We've always had the vision of all schools in New Zealand doing the program, and the idea of developing cluster schools or communities where primary, intermediate and secondaries are all, there's a flow through of mediators and they're all doing the program. And we also need research showing the benefits of the program, because some people still don't realise that actually building the kind of human beings and citizens we need for the 21st century is vital to our country and, of course, to other countries as well. And somehow they seem to miss this point about the importance of all of this. So we need the research to show the effects, and we need the funding so that all schools can do it, because schools, as we all know, are very differently placed for being able to afford programs. So it's really a case of people just understanding the goal that we need for the 21st century and the kind of human beings and citizens we need to produce.
I just want to say I totally agree with what Yvonne says. As I've seen in the Rangitiki model, where you've got all schools within a cluster group on board, primary, intermediate and secondary within an area, it's a lot more effective, and you're producing citizens within that community who have peaceful conflict resolution skills to take into their relationships wherever that is, whether it be at school, outside the school gate, in the workforce later on, into their relationships. But every individual is exposed and has the opportunity to put these skills into their toolbox, and that is, of course, our overall goal, is that everyone has the exposure.
And I think it's worth coming back to the basic skill of a mediator, which is the ability to empathise, and that is the ability to see something through somebody else's eyes. And I think one of the most powerful lessons that is learnt by students and adults alike is when you are accused of something, even if it's wrongfully accused, if instead of defending yourself, you start by understanding where your accuser is coming from, what is making them say that, and what it feels like to be them. When you can do that, all sorts of things happen, even without a mediator. And so there are skills like this which can transform your life overnight and only take 5 minutes to teach. And I think if we understand that that's one of the basic skills that we're trying to educate, I think it's good to hold that in mind.
So all cultures, when you look at them, have similar values. And something I did in Fiji was align the cool school's values with the Vanua values of Fiji. And you can do that with any culture or society. You can pick out these basic principles and skills and align them with another culture, and they can see how they can tie it in and use it in their own families and their own culture to just promote really universal, these are universal things we're talking about, the kind of human being that we can all become if we actually put some effort and importance onto these values and skills that we're talking about today.
I'd just like to mention just a few quotes from the students themselves, and just this one is really profound for me. It was a Maori student, and she said this: "This program has changed my perspective. Before, when I had a problem, I would use my fists or and give verbal abuse. Now I look at the bigger picture. Talking about the problem is much more effective." So that's from a Maori student. Here's another student: "Mediation has been an inspiration to me because it has opened my eyes to appreciating cultural differences." Another student said, "This is a practical way of helping students to solve their problems." And lastly, "With 10% of school students trained in mediation skills, there is always a trained peer mediator available to help students talk about their problems when they are in conflict." So that's pretty special, when you've got students once again empowering other students with being able to work together to make their schools peaceful, happy and safe. And that's important.